Good evening, Atlanta. It is that time yet again on a Thursday night. You are back with The Intersection. Yes, it is me, Noel White, Jason Longshore, and we have a fill-in producer tonight. We have Mr. Garrett Chapman also on the board, so this shall be a new, interesting, and fun one. So, Jason.
What's up?
We usually start off with what you got going on this week. So
too much.
Where were you this week? Where, you know, you're usually gallivanting all over the city, all over the nation. You know, you even got to spend 4th of July in our nation's capital.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about it. What's been going on since I seen you last?
Unfortunately, a lot of scoreless soccer,
ooh,
which hasn't been good. The last two, I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on with me and the sport right now, because I went through a week in June where three games that I was either covering or calling ended 4-0, same scoreline, against the team that I was either rooting for or working for. That was not fun. This week, it's back-to-back scoreless draws for Atlanta United and Atlanta United 2. Last night was a little more entertaining than the first team match on Saturday, which was not entertaining.
The most
entertaining thing, and Garrett can actually chime in on this one, was the kids screaming for ice cream in front of our crowd mic.
Wow. What?
I'm sure you heard that plenty, Garrett.
Yeah, I think that was really the MVP of the evening. I joked with Maddie during the game, and then as we built up, we always have a man of the match after every single match. And I'm like, I think it's that screaming baby, because they kept going the whole match. It was very impressive.
Whoever got the kid ice cream, that's the man of the match, because they stopped for a little while. It was chaos.
Man.
The soccer was not good in D.C. Scoreless draw. I mean, I don't know what it is. This team right now just can't get anything going offensively. But they got a clean sheet, so you got something to build around. We go to Toronto on Saturday. We'll have that one on Saturday night. Same time, 7:40 kickoff, 6:30 for pregame. It's Abe and Maddie on pregame for that one. And hopefully some goals. And then back-to-back games at home next week.
Ooh, hopefully some goals. We got two teams right now in soccer and in baseball who can't seem to figure out how to score right now. We'll get to the baseball side of things in a moment. Not so much Braves, who are flailing right now against the homeless Athletics. But we will more so get into the All-Star game. But what about Club World Cup did you like? What didn't you like? How was the first experience of this type of sporting event?
I'll tell you what, it's funny that all the people who tried to create narratives out of PSG beating Miami 4-0
mm-hmm.
got really quiet when PSG beat Real Madrid 4-0 yesterday.
Mm.
Dominant. I think PSG, we're going to adopt them as Atlanta's team.
Basically,
since they were here for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We like the style.
We've talked about it.
I like the style on the field. You like the style off the field. We got PSG right now. They are a blast to watch. They're in the final. They play Chelsea. One of the funniest things at Club World Cup has been, I think, European fans, European clubs, learning about the game in this hemisphere and in other hemispheres. You get a lot of ignorance.
Yeah.
Like Chelsea's manager, Enzo Maresca, it's one of the funniest media things that I've seen, where he's talking about how, well, you know, we've played 63 games this season, and we come into this tournament in a completely different condition than any other team, that, and especially the Brazilian teams. And how many games has your team played? Talking to the Brazilian media.
Yeah.
And guy in the back's like, 70 games. That's more than you. 70. And he's just like, he doesn't even say anything.
Because what can you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, comms guy's like, next question.
Right, like I either got to fall on my sword and say, oops, I was wrong, I didn't research that, or do what we normally do, which is gloss over it and move the goalposts, because that didn't fit my narrative now.
He just smirked, and comms guy saved. Yeah, that's all you could do. It's one of the funniest things. Like, South American media went nuts with it. It's been a really fun tournament because of stuff like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
you got to see Fluminense and a goalkeeper, Fabio, who's 44 years old. His first professional game was in 1997. There was not a player in Chelsea's starting lineup yesterday or Tuesday that had been born when he made his professional debut.
I was just about to say, that's exactly as old as my nephew.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He's still doing it. At 44, he's killing
yeah.
it. Stories like that. It's been really cool to see teams get the opportunity. And for me, that's what I love about soccer specifically. The underdog stories, the stories with matchups you'd never see. Fluminense, Botafogo beat PSG. That was a huge upset. Flamengo beat Chelsea earlier in the tournament. Mamelodi Sundowns from South Africa were a blast to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Did they struggle with the level? Yeah, a little bit, because they're used to being able to attack wide open freely, not really defend too much. Well, they got exposed against better teams. But next time they get into a tournament like this, they're going to be in a position to know, all right, we can attack, but we got to be careful. We got to play a little bit differently here. You don't get that development if you don't have tournaments like this. You don't get, because they don't get to play in the European Champions League. They don't get to play in the Copa Libertadores. So when you get that, they go back, they're enriched for it. Miami, LAFC, Seattle, they're better teams because of their experience in Club World Cup. It's how the game grows. It's how we all get to see different styles of play, different styles of just how players are on the field that we don't normally get to see. Super cool. I've loved it. I think it's done exactly what I thought it would do. A lot of people came in with negativity around it. Some of the crowds were a little smaller at the beginning. The last two weekend crowds here were over 65,000.
Yeah.
You've had some big crowds in this tournament. It's grown every round. So it's been a blast to watch.
And it's interesting because, like, the thing you mentioned about giving teams and players more opportunities to play soccer and be able to grow, and the negativity that was kind of trying to fester around it and it's kind of died down from people actually seeing it, it kind of reminds me of Unrivaled as we kind of shift this conversation into a WNBA conversation. Even though it was 3-on-3 versus 5-on-5, that's what it was able to do for them. It was able to allow them, really, I think, playing 3-on-3, it allowed them to play, to work on more of their individual game. You're playing more ISO. You're doing more individual guarding and defense. You're finding deficiencies in that style of play. You're working on them. You're gaining more experience playing against different players. You're building relationships with different players that could, you know, be of implications later on down the line, just like how we got new players signed here this year. They were in Miami with each other. So it reminds me a lot of that and the positivity that's come out of that, and I think it's only going to grow.
When you see players get to interact playing against different kinds of players, playing with different kinds of players, they add to their game.
Yep.
You know, like, that's one thing that I think, especially I look at it in the women's game in soccer here in this country, and I think there's some crossover with the WNBA in some ways, where if you look at how players develop over time, it's kind of a straight line. Like, everybody kind of goes through the same process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in soccer, you go through the club side of it. A lot of teams play the same way. So you're not exposed to different tactics. You're not exposed to different kinds of players, different coaching styles. It's all real similar. Like, you go from there, you go to college, you go to pro. You're starting to see some skipping around. I think WNBA, like, you have a lot of college programs that play similar styles. So when you get something like Unrivaled, where you're getting some of the coaching away from it, it is more about the individuals and figuring it out and building relationships on the court, combo kind of stuff. The game evolves a little bit.
Yep.
Those players have a different skill set. They got a different toolbox when they come into play. They can solve problems differently.
Exactly. This is The Intersection with Noah White and Jason Longshore. And we are going to talk a little bit about WNBA All-Star break. I'm going to give you a dream rundown right quick.
I have a question on Dream. Go ahead. Okay. And then I have a question about tactics with the Dream a little bit. I want you to dig into it.
Okay. I was just going to say that they're basically rolling along. They beat the Valkyrie the other night, which was interesting. That was a matchup I really wanted to see. They haven't played this expansion team yet. Mm-hmm. And the Valkyrie have been a really tough expansion team. They're actually setting a bar for what an expansion team should be able to do. It helps that you have that Golden State Warriors money.
That helps a little bit.
You know, build a fan base and all that, galvanize around it. But they are doing really well as a expansion franchise. They really gave, the Dream actually took a while to get their footing against the Valkyrie when they played. It was a lot of deep shooting, a lot of shot making. But the Dream did pull that one out. They are still second in the East, fourth in the league. Last week, I made a note or a statement that a player like Orion Howard, who's in a new system, trying to find her footing and all that good stuff, may be left off an All-Star team. I also kind of felt the same way about an Angel Reese. Well, I was wrong about both.
Mm.
Both of them will be All-Stars, and they are both on the same team with Alicia Gray. They are Team Nafisia Collier.
Okay, let's save the big picture All-Star conversation for the next segment.
Okay.
Because I'm still, like, I don't like the setup. I kind of want an East-West. I kind of want something that's a little easier to follow. I don't know, All-Star games in general, like, there's a lot of conversations about what you do with it. But with the Dream right now, there's been some conversation, and you can get into the tactics of this more than I could. they like to play, at least from the start, two bigs.
Yes.
And you're seeing, I think, basketball in general get away from two bigs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you think, because they're not doing that as much late in games.
Mm-hmm.
It's more from the jump. Is that something that you think they're going to need to get away from a little bit? Or is it a good way to start and maybe certain opponents it works? I don't know.
Well, they kind of go that way the whole game. The difference is which bigs you have on the floor.
Okay.
So sometimes you have a BG on the floor, which may be a little slower, a little less athletic, but it's like a really just physical dominant presence down there on the block. But if you feel like that's not working out, you need something kind of faster pace, you bring in a Nas Hillman.
Yeah.
And what you've been seeing is a lot of Nas Hillman lately.
Yeah.
And to your point, it's just a matchup.
Okay.
So I think what you're seeing is BG is the starter.
Yeah.
She's going to start every game. It's going to be her and BG. It's going to be her and Breonna Jones to start every game in the post. Now, how much she plays in that game is going to depend on how she plays and how effective it is against opponents.
Okay.
But you've been seeing a lot more Nas Hillman because she can shoot that three at the top of the key, and she just doesn't waste minutes. Not saying that BG does.
Right.
But the type of energy and the tenacity and just, I'm going to do all the little things, all the dirty work, she does that as soon as she hits the floor. Like, Nas does not waste time when she's on that floor. It may not reflect on the stat sheet, but it shows on the floor.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing is Kamesko do a lot of mixing and matching just depending on what's going on. Like, if he feels like Jordan's having a tough time scoring, you might bring in Pow for a couple extra minutes to see if you can get some shots, see if you can run her off screens and get some shots on the outside, and then you'll bring Jordan back in to run more of the floor. So it just depends on what's working against each team, but I like that he understands I need to match up against the teams we're playing against.
Yeah. Are you seeing, like, he's halfway through his first year with the team.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some new faces with the team anyway. Are you seeing him kind of develop in those rotations, in those matchups, and in that chemistry that he's building with different units?
Yeah, indeed. Like I said, you got one of my favorite units that he runs is what I call Hustle Plus 1 or 2.
Okay.
And that's when you have Nia Coffey in, you have Nas Hillman in, and you have like somebody like a Pow or Shatori Kimber-Walker in all at the same time with Ryan Howard and Alicia Gray. So you have your two anchors, and then you just got a bunch of hustle on
you
the
have
floor.
Chaos.
Yes. They're going to scrap. They're going to run. They're going to muck up lanes. They're going to call steals and blocks. And it's when the scoring is a little lackadaisical and they're not moving without the ball like you really want them to, that lineup really shakes up things on the floor. It really gets things going. I think because you have a lot of people on the floor that understand how to move without the ball.
Yeah.
They're cutting a lot so that somebody like a Ryan Howard or a Pow or Tina or Jordan Canada can find you. And it's just like when you see Trae Young on the floor and you see a bunch of them like standing around just looking at Trae make a move. It's like, no, move. I need you guys to move so he has somewhere to put this ball before he turns it over or he gets trapped or whatever. And similar situation, but he has lineups that he brings on and off when he feels like he needs that. And that's what I really like about his coaching development so far.
It's funny how things cross over because movement off the ball, that was the biggest issue for Atlanta United on Saturday in D.C. They had no movement off the ball in the first half at all. It was very static. And you would see players with the ball looking around. I have nowhere to go.
Yeah, they're just dribbling.
Yeah, it's like, I have to go sideways. I have to go this way. Hopefully somebody moves. Hopefully something opens up. But the movement wasn't there. And that's such a key element. And that's the cool little difference with basketball and soccer. Like, it's a very similar thing. Sometimes it's movement off the ball to get the pass directly. Sometimes it's movement to pull a defender over here. And then somebody comes in and takes that space.
Yep.
That's something that PSG does extremely well. Somebody will make a long run basically as a distraction, and then somebody dumps into the open space, they get the ball, then the whole game is wide open.
Yeah, and you see the same thing with the Hawks, and that's why people are so excited about this new lineup, because they run a lot of double screens and a lot of action where it's cutting, and there are some plays where they get teams caught up to where they think there's going to be a cutting action because somebody rolled here, and then Okongwu was able to, because a lot of time Okongwu was the anchor, right, and he's able to throw the ball to the post to get an easy layup or throw it to the top of the key to hit a three. So you're starting to see that a lot with the Dream with certain lineups, and their bigs, they set screens really well.
Yeah.
They set screens really well, and their guards give them the chance to get set to set those screens. So I really like what I'm seeing. We have two All-Stars that are going to Indy.
There we go.
They have a game in New York on Saturday, and then I think All-Star Weekend happens. So be sure to watch Alicia Gray and Ryan Howard of your Atlanta Dream All-Star Weekend. And with that, we shall be back on The Intersection. We got some, we might get a little bit more into WNBA All-Star Weekend, want to get into MLB All-Star Weekend, and maybe a little bit of Netflix's quarterback.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Here, yes, we have to relive the season because Netflix told us to. Here on 929 The Game and the Odyssey app. And welcome back, Atlanta. We are back at the intersection. We are still on the corner of sports and nowhere, and Bubba Sparks has joined us, apparently.
I made the maybe mistake. Maybe I nailed it with the request for Bubba Sparks. I didn't expect Garrett Chapman to go with this one.
Yeah.
But
he did. GC's the GOAT for this one.
I saw the opportunity. I mean, Jason, you lobbed it up to me, man.
I did.
I mean,
I did.
It's an underhand toss, and what do you expect me to do with that?
I thought you might go in a different direction. Lots of other
picks. The underrated wedding song, by the way.
I agree with that.
Underrated wedding song.
Probably like 90 minutes in and three sheets.
No, this is after Grandma and Granddaddy go home.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is when the party really starts.
Oh, yeah. This is a song that I think could kick off the party. That's one of those types of songs.
Yeah. This is the signal. Like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the kids are gone. The parents are gone.
Oh, yeah.
We can cut loose.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got Bubba playing right now. Bubba watching his rise when I was in Athens was a really cool thing. And I'm going to cross the streams here just a little bit. Our group chat last night went off on favorite albums of all time.
Okay.
And I'm really upset that I didn't put Deliverance by Bubba Sparks in my list.
Okay.
Because it needs to be. Most days it is. Off the top of your head, three favorite albums. Full album. Like, not just artist, not just song, like album.
Ooh, okay. I'm a TLC head, so I'm going to go TLC fan mail because everybody says Crazy Sexy Cool.
I could go with either, but
I'm going to go Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Okay.
And I'm going to go, I'm going to cheat here, Speaker Box Love Below.
Okay.
Because it's a double
That's cheating.
Because it's a double disc.
Garrett, I'll give you a second to think. I would go with right now, just because we're talking about Bubba, Deliverance because it's an absolute classic.
Love it.
Oasis, definitely, maybe.
Oh, nice.
I've been on a big Oasis kick lately. And I will go Outkast, but I'm going to go Equimini. Most people don't go Equimini.
No, I love Equimini. Yeah,
that's the one that got me.
That's a good one.
What about you, Garrett?
All right, GC, what you got?
I'm all over the place. And that's why, so I'm not
Did you not hear our picks?
I know, it's so true. And so I think I'm going to have to go the White Album. I think that's going to be one.
Beatles,
I love the Beatles. The Noah Cotton Stick Season, his most recent album that he came out with. I don't know if that's the name of it.
He hasn't gotten me yet. He really hasn't.
But that's kind of my vibe of music.
I got it.
And I love like kind of like that mountain type of sound. I just kind of like crunchy tunes, you know.
I need like a little bit more from him. Like, he hasn't won me over yet.
Yeah, he's got. I mean, I got a couple songs.
Okay, so you're going to have to help me
get you
with
a couple of songs
here. Right, fair enough.
And then third one, I'm just off the top of my head, I'm just trying to think out of left field here. And this was almost like a personal one, but it's Songs About Jane.
Oh, I love that album.
Oh, great album.
I actually love that
album. No, I'll fight people over that record.
That was before they got sucked up by the pop machine.
I will fight people over that record.
100%. I did 100 miles to the sun. Listen.
So, no, let me tell you this. So this is the story. That was my first ever album that I ever got. And,
nice.
And it's because my dad bought it for me. And I remember distinctly, we were at Barnes & Noble back when you can go buy music at Barnes & Noble. And he sat there and he looked at me and he said, you know what? This band is going to be really, really big. And it was like their first, I think it was their first
album. Yeah, that's
the first
album.
I think it was. And he's like, this band is going to be the next big thing. And he hands it over to me. And I remember I downloaded it on my Xbox because I did it.
Yes.
So I'm aging myself a little bit, I guess you could say, but it's like putting myself into that little weird niche category right there of like born in like the mid-90s, I guess. It was the Xbox, not the Xbox 360, just the Xbox.
Yep.
But you know, Songs About Jane, you know, and I loved some songs on that album, and it's like whenever those come on, it just sort of brings me back. It's like the hyper nostalgic ones.
Do you remember what year you got it?
Oh,
like,
man.
2004?
2003, I think it was.
2003?
Okay. I think it was 2003.
The album came out in 2002. I was working in warehouse music at the Cross from Ansley Mall. We got a promo copy of it and had no artwork, no nothing, just a promo copy. Started playing it. And I'm like, I love this. This is like this weird mishmash of alt rock and pop and kind of weird vocals, and it's awesome. I love it. We played it all the time. They did a show. Their first show in Atlanta was the after show, and it was a free show for OAR playing at the Tabernacle.
Wow.
So it was at the Cotton Club, downstairs.
Yeah.
Free to go in. Nobody knew who they were. 30 people in there. And they played. And the thing that won me over completely, I love the album, but they played and they did a cover of Bad Boy for Life.
Okay.
Maroon
wow.
5 doing. They used to do this all the time, like back in their early shows. But the keyboard player, I've never seen anybody do this before. He's playing the keyboard, standing up.
Mm-hmm.
He vert jumps over the keyboard and then jumps back over it, Saquon Barkley style.
Oh, wow.
And keeps playing.
Oh, wow. I'm like, I've never seen it.
So they finished their set and they just finished their set and walked to the bar. And we're talking and they're asking, you know, oh, like, how'd you hear about us? I'm like, work in a music store. We sell your album. I'm like, oh, really? How many do you sell a week? And this was really early. I'm like, about 5 or 6 a week. You know, it's starting to pick up a little bit. They're like, that's probably the only albums we're selling in the East Coast right now. Because they just hadn't caught at
all. Yeah, because that should have been around the time This Love was out. Not really like...
It was way before. Harder to Breathe had just went to rock radio.
I love Harder to Breathe. That was a good one. Yeah, I love Harder to Breathe.
Because it went to alternative radio as a favor here in Atlanta to the record label.
Oh, wow.
And it did okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then This Love went to pop and it started to blow up.
Because VH1 got a hold of this love and it just blew up.
Yep.
So are y'all team This Love or She Will Be Loved?
This Love, because there's This Love and then there's She Will Be Loved. I love the
she
ballad.
She Will Be Loved. She Will Be Loved was my.
I do love
my,
the ballad.
That
I do.
Was my favorite. Yeah.
Like This Love got you in the door. Like okay, yeah. I think I might like this man. And then She Will Be Loved was like this band is amazing.
No, the
and then
one,
they just
the
took
one
a left hand turn and now they're like a pop machine.
Oh,
hey, they went to get paid. We were
now,
talking about it.
Now they're the biggest, one of the biggest bands.
Yeah,
in the world.
Yeah.
We were talking about it in the break. That was the song you played for Bubba Sparxxx, Miss New Booty. That was the one where he's like, I got
to
get paid. It's time to make some cash. And Maroon 5 had the opportunity. They went and did it. I love that first record.
And then
the first two albums.
Here.
I actually love the first
the
two.
The remix with Rihanna from the second album is a great pop song.
It is, but that's also like the foreshadowing of where we're
headed. Oh, you knew where it was going. Yes.
that was foreshadowing.
Sunday Morning is my Maroon 5
I
song.
I love Sunday Morning. Good pick, JC. Honorable mention, I'm going to throw any Lana Del Rey album out there because I absolutely love Lana Del Rey. If I want to be on the beach or in the mountain, I'm putting on Lana Del Rey.
Okay. So. See, this is what happens on the intersection. Like, you never know where it's going
to
go.
Never know, because I will have that on my way to a Falcons game. You have no idea even where I'm going. I'm like, where are you? You don't see football? Yes, and I need serenity before I go. Speaking of sports on the intersection, I went to an event tonight before I came here Fox that kind of kicks off MLB weekend.
Okay.
So, Nike, our good old Nike, who usually gets a dart from me, but not today.
They're not on the dartboard today?
Okay. No darts today. Right. Well, almost. But no darts today.
Oh, no.
There were two events going on simultaneously at the Fox. So, on one side of the Fox was an event that I didn't get a ticket to, and that was an evening with Deion Sanders and Ken Griffey Jr. I'm sure that was absolutely amazing.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
I was on the other side of the Fox where there was a release party.
Okay.
For two pairs of shoes, there was the Deion DT Pronto 92, which is they're selling as like a remix of the original Diamond Turf, but really this is the Diamond Turf prototype before they took the swoosh off.
Okay.
So I got invited to that. Now, I thought that was going to be just a, you know, come pick up your sneakers and get out of here thing.
Uh-huh.
And then they gave me a wristband that says sneakers pass Nike baseball, and I was like, what's happening here?
Uh-oh.
And then we went upstairs and Miss New Booty was playing and the DJ was going in and there was photo ops and all types of things going on, and I'm like, oh, I got invited to a party. I had no idea. So I went to go pick up these shoes because there's only supposed to be 500 of them.
Ooh.
And this is supposed to celebrate Braves and MLB weekend. So this particular colorway here, Jason.
I like that colorway.
Yes.
I like it better than the famous colorway. I like that better.
This particular one here is supposed to celebrate that day in October. And I wish I had the exact date in front of me. I want to say it's the 17th, but I don't remember. Don't quote me. When Deion was audacious enough to play football and baseball in the same day.
Really upset Tim McCarver that day. Really made him angry.
Man. Played one game, got in a jet, flew somewhere else, put on a whole different
uniform. October
11th. 11th, that's what it was. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
October 11th, yes. So this is to commiserate and celebrate that wonderful day of Deion Sanders doing amazing things in Falcons jerseys.
I like that colorway.
Atlanta jerseys.
Yeah, the original was white with the black and red and the gold, right? Had a lot going on, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, indeed. That's why some people, like revisionist history, they try to make it a 49ers shoe. They always say 49ers colorway.
And
we always like have to beat them up about it because no. But it's because of the gold mesh that's on the side that makes it, you know, give it that 49er look and not the Falcon look.
No, I love that new re-release, the all black with the gold, a little bit of red.
Oh, wow. Okay, so each one of these are numbered. There's only 500 of them, guys. Okay. Garrett, you listening? There's only 500 of these. Okay. Each one of these are numbered.
Uh-huh.
You will not believe what number I got.
Uh-oh. What number?
002.
Ooh.
Matt Ryan's number.
Okay.
Yeah. 002. And it's probably because it's a size 6, which is the smallest one they make.
Yes, I was going to ask.
But so I have 002 out of 500, a little piece of Atlanta history right here that I get to wear on my feet to kick off All-Star Weekend, which has even more events going on, which I believe will be down at the Cobb Galleria, which I will be at on Saturday as soon as I wrap up the Sam and Greg show.
What else going on around the game? Because I think, you know, this is what All-Star games have turned into. It's a week. It's a celebration of that sport.
Yep.
The game itself used to mean something. I don't know if it really does anymore, and that's okay. Like, what else is going on around it here in Atlanta?
Exactly. So you got so kind of like when we had the Super Bowl, when you had all the fun stuff that you could do down at the convention center.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Kind of the same setup, but in Cobb Galleria this time. And then we at 929 will be at Murph's for the week. You got you got Abe Gordon here, Andy and Randy, and Grant McCauley will be at Murph's on Saturday the 11th. Sunday the 11th. Let's see. Saturday the 12th, you got Bo Morgan and Dylan Matthews with Chris Thomas later on in the afternoon at Murph's. And on Friday, we are at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. You will see Andy and Randy. So the station has Cobb County
everywhere,
all covered. We will be out there. We will know what's going on. We will report back to you guys. And those of us who will not have to work the board or be on air will have some fun in the area. So if you run into us, say hi, you know, wave at us, maybe take a picture. I don't know. But we'll be outside whether we are working or just having fun and enjoying the area with you guys. So, Jason, what's your all-star plan? Are you even going to be able to get outside, Soccer?
No, I'm in Toronto on Saturday. And then I'm in Kennesaw on Sunday for Atlanta United 2, which you will be able to listen to right here on this very station for the first time this season. Atlanta United 2, the Academy kids on the way up. You'll get a chance to hear that starting at 7:25 on Sunday night.
Well, all right. So All-Star Weekend spared you guys of Netflix's The Quarterback.
You got lucky.
Maybe. As me, Jason, and Garrett for the first time, print out some photos and throw darts at people, things, or places that we don't like. Coming up next on 929 The Game. Welcome back into the intersection. Me, Jason, and Garrett are still on the corner of sports and everything else. It is 1992, and we are too legit to quit. It is time to hit the bar and throw darts at things, places, or people that we didn't like this week. Jason, do you want to explain the darts to our listeners and to our producer?
Yeah, I think we might need to explain it for Garrett. So this is what happens at the end of the show. We go to the bar. It's last call coming up, and, you know, you've had a couple, and you decide, all right, dartboard's over there. Cool. I can give the bartender my ID and get some darts. All right, let's do that. So then when we started doing this the first couple of weeks, we figured out, wait a minute, there's a dot matrix printer in the back and it's on this giant metal cart like our substitute teacher had. It's strapped down so it doesn't fall over on a small child. Let's use that. We got some extra ribbons over at the Goodwill store, and that's where we print our pictures out to throw darts at. Because, you know, it was cool to throw darts and like compete and all that, but it's much more fun to throw darts at something. It gives us an opportunity to either complain, or if somebody's complaining about something that we feel passionately about the other way, go up and take the picture down and save it. That's what happens.
That's usually what happens to me.
Well, this is where I'm a little confused, because you have thrown darts multiple times at things related to the shoes you just bought.
Yes. Well, nobody said I didn't have a love-hate relationship with Nike. Nobody ever accused me of blindly loving anything, really. You know, when Nike do things I don't like, they get darts. And when they do things I do like, they do like, they get my money.
Okay, that's a fair trade, like, I guess. Yeah, that works.
See? So I'm not that bad off. Now, you did say Mr. Darius Rucker this weekend.
That was
Greg's fault. Greg teed me up. And he asked me to play Julian and Blowfish, and I just made a face. And then it became a thing. And then he became on the dartboard on a show that's not even ours.
What's wrong with Hootie and the Blowfish?
He would come running in and take it down.
I said the same thing.
And he already took him off the board.
No, I'm just a noted antagonizer. That's what I am.
That's true.
I stir the pot.
So to get to this week,
South Carolina Gamecocks or something like that? What's wrong with Darius Rucker?
That's one of the best things to come out of South Carolina, all of the Gamecocks. And don't get me started again. Don't get me started.
Okay. I don't even know where that got weird on Saturday when I'm on. I'm like, what? Why are we yelling at Darius Rucker? What did he do?
See, he didn't do anything. He just, and this is gonna sound bad, he just exists. But Greg brought him up, and I just made a face as something I don't like, and then it became a thing. Like, I don't dislike a lot of things, but that's one that I just never. I just never been a fan of it. It just wasn't my thing. But we're gonna actually get into darts, these new darts.
Somebody hit the touch tunes while we were here.
I like it though.
It happens when you're at the bar. You never know what can happen.
I like it though. It's like bar background music. Okay. So who wants to do the honors this week?
I'll start with
okay,
it.
Okay.
So
we
brought it up on earlier in the last segment. I've brought it up before too because the Oasis reunion tour is happening right now.
Nice. Are they gonna get through it?
So far, so good. They actually, and full credit to Liam and Noel, one of the funniest things, if you don't know like the whole story with Oasis, it's two brothers, and they were drunk quite often and didn't get along. And then when they were sober, they didn't get along either.
Yep.
Big brother, little brother. I mean, it happens. They hated each other for the longest time. One of the funniest things when they were not talking was Liam Gallagher's Twitter account, because he constantly called his brother Noel a potato. And I don't know why calling somebody a potato would always set me off, but yes, calling somebody a grown man a potato is one of the funniest things I can ever imagine.
Because it's so random, and you know so serious.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's very serious. I mean, he did, people would bring potatoes to Liam Gallagher concerts. It became a thing. Like,
hilarious.
It was crazy. So they come out for the first show in Cardiff in Wales, and they're like, hand in hand walking out to the stage. I mean, they're playing everything up perfectly so far. They're in Manchester this weekend, which is going to be nuts, their hometown. I'm upset, and Garrett, I'm going to ask you to fire up the dot matrix printer and print me out an Adidas logo.
Interesting.
Yes, because in the UK, Adidas has done a limited edition run of shirts and jackets, and I'm sure there's a bucket hat in there somewhere, and shoes for Oasis. Because if you remember, Oasis was all about the three stripe.
Mm-hmm.
This is not available in the United States.
Oh, that sucks.
Why is this not available in the United States? They're coming to the United States. They're going to tour here.
We like Oasis.
We have money, too.
Right.
I have money.
We like Oasis. Why can't I buy an Oasis t-shirt?
They did some cool, like, soccer jersey, like, because, I mean, Oasis loves their soccer.
Right,
They're big Manchester City fans. I would love an Oasis faux soccer jersey. I can't buy it. I can't get it.
I mean, you probably can
I
get
could,
it.
I could, but it's way
but exactly.
Expensive.
Like, the what it would take to get it would way. Make it probably not worth it
like
anymore.
$260 was one I looked at for a shirt, and it's kind of like, I can't do that.
But I get you because, like, right now, it looks so nice,
too. It's clean. Like, they did a really good job with the whole run of stuff that they did. And I would like to give them my money, but I'm not going to pay $260 and have it shipped over from the UK.
And I get it because they're doing the same thing right now with the clips. Like, Pusha T is reunited with his brother Malice. And
isn't that album supposed to drop at midnight?
Yes, and I'm really excited for it. So they're about to do that thing. But Adidas has also come up with stuff for them. Like, they got a special pair of Sambas and some other things going on. You know, Pusha T has a deal with them that we'll get here. But I'm sure that it won't be U.S. exclusive. I'm sure that the U.K. will get a chance to put on their clips gear, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, why can't we get it over here? I feel the same way. And I'm mad at Adidas because they dropped a limited a 100 pair of
I saw this.
Atlanta Sambas
yes.
that I was not able to get my hands on. So I'm very upset with Adidas about that.
I would have liked to have gotten some of those myself. No such luck.
Yeah, so I'm kind of upset about
throwing darts at Adidas. Sorry.
I'm also going to throw a dart at Adidas. And I'm going to throw a dart at... Go ahead and fire it up, Garrett.
I hope that ribbon holds up.
Oof.
We might have to hit the Goodwill again.
I'm going to throw a dart at Netflix.
At Netflix?
Because Netflix...
Oh, wait a minute.
...keeps making us relive football seasons that we don't want to. First, you had Marcus Mariota. That we had to watch him flame out and get supplanted by Desmond Ridder.
I forgot all about that
and
one.
And now we're back for season two for more. Now Kirk Cousins trades his purple people eater jersey in for a Dirty Bird jersey and does the Dirty Bird to the Falcons. As you watch him live and in person complain about his elbow, his shoulder, his Achilles, and being here in general, honestly.
But he's got a mean haircut, though.
From Great Clips. Shout out to Great Clips.
Hey, and he...
15-minute wait.
And he shouted it out on his social media. And he has the picture ready and everything. He was ready to go.
Is this real?
That man knows how to make some money.
Is he making money, though?
I guarantee you he's got a deal lined up with Great Clips. 100%.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah, I hope so, because it all feels really manufactured and weird.
And it's when Jason said it in a bullpen... I was like, okay, so it's not just me. Because there was a lot of moments like the Roy Rogers drink and the going to cookout after the game and the girl not knowing who he was absolutely hilarious. And just certain moments where it's like, is he serious? Like,
is this a troll?
Is it a bit? Is this really him? Like, I can't tell.
See, it's funny. It's funny when he's winning games and he's big Kirko and he's walking in with his chain. And I still think that's funny because I think it genuinely is who he is. He's just kind of a dad, like kind of a dork a little bit.
I don't know anymore.
But no, I mean, there are pieces of it that I think he's just kind of embraced, like the Great Clips thing, and he's going to make his money. But he also just knows how to make his money, and credit for that. But no, I'm pretty frustrated with the whole thing, just in general, with him.
The thing that makes me mad about it, and this was another thing that popped up in my group chat, and this was my reaction to it. You can't hold the team hostage. And they had to get another quarterback. They were going to go sign somebody, or they were going to draft somebody. He got paid. He got his money. He was the starter. They kept him as the starter even when he started to struggle.
You see how bad this organization really, really wanted it to work
really
on this show.
Badly.
Like, you see how bad Raheem really wanted this to work. He did not want to put the kid in.
And that's what frustrates me about the complaints about drafting Michael Penix, because they gave you every single possible chance imaginable and more than you should have gotten for the good of the team last season to try to stay in that job. And you couldn't, and you were banged up, and that's football. Welcome to the game. That's what happens. But that's exactly why they drafted Michael Penix.
And for me, shout out to Julie Cousins. It is really hard to be a football wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, for me, Kirk Cousins was being delusional. Because whether you are in Atlanta or Minnesota, everywhere you go, you are going to take your age, and at Achilles with you. If you felt like if we were going to draft a quarterback so high, you could have stayed in Minnesota, you could have flamed out in Minnesota if you would have been realistic about your situation. You wanted to go to a place where you were going to get all the money and nobody were going to be behind you so you could do whatever it was you was going to do or flame out organically or whatever it was.
Not how it works.
It's not how it works. And if you would have understood that, you could have flamed out in Minnesota like you wanted to. You left Minnesota because you didn't want anybody behind you. But the reality of the fact is you were 36 years old coming off of an Achilles injury. How long were you going to be the de facto guy?
Any team that is serious about anything has to have a second quarterback.
Has to.
And if that was the best one and you go through all the different possibilities of what the Falcons could have done, that is the best second quarterback that they could have had on the roster behind Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins, if he hadn't gotten hurt, would have started all season.
And like Bahimi Jones said,
but he got hurt.
If you think, and I'm not saying he is, and Bahimi wasn't saying he is, but if you think that Penix is Patrick Mahomes, then you can't not draft him because Kirk Cousins is in the refrigerator or on the bench or whatever it is. Now, again, I'm not saying that that is who he is. We're about to see. Like, we're on the journey. But if that's who you felt like he was as a GM and as a coach, and for Raheem Morris, for his game plan to for in 2020 when they interviewed him and when he came back was, we need a quarterback. We need a succession plan behind Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. Then this is always what was going to happen.
Yeah, you have to always have that. You like, have to always have that plan of who's next.
Like so the trying to hold the team hostage and trying to force your way out of here, saying stuff like, oh, I didn't know that was gonna happen and I thought I was injured and all
bad
like
look.
Come on.
Bad look, come on. Bad
like
look.
The whole situation at the Super Bowl was a bad look.
Bad
Not talking
look.
To D-Led at the Super Bowl was a bad look.
Bad look.
It's just continuing to snowball. But it is what it is. So Clipboard Kurt is here. And we went down memory lane. We saw what it is. And we can all go into camp knowing that we do have a starting quarterback. And whatever happens with Kurt at this point is what happens with Kurt. The money is the money. I think the team was already okay with the money when they gave it out. I don't think the money is a factor towards the franchise anymore for how they feel about it. So all of this is null and void. He's going to get his $10 million. We're going to hold the clipboard. And hopefully we're going to move forward with our new franchise quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. My fingers are crossed. Garrett, who are you throwing a dart at?
So, I like that. I'll also throw a dart at that, and Jason, I'll throw a dart at yours, too. It's kind of messed up, man. You got to stay side.
I want my Adidas Oasis stuff.
I get it, man.
Come on. I don't want the bucket hat, though. I'm not a bucket hat guy. I'm a hat guy, but not a bucket hat
guy. I'll
take
a bucket hat.
As I wear a bucket hat.
I'll be up at Flowery Branch this summer. No? I need a little
bucket
hat.
I can't pull it off.
I need a little action.
It's me. I can't pull it off. No, I have nothing against bucket hats. I just don't like bucket hats on my head. That's all.
It's a confidence thing, man. You just got to embrace it. Nobody looks good
in a bucket
hat.
I wear Kangols. I have plenty of confidence in wearing hats. I don't have problems about my hat choice.
It's the same thing as wearing a visor. I mean, a visor is kind of a dorky looking hat.
See, I don't think I can wear a visor, but Don Staley kills it. Don Staley kills the visor.
Hey, man.
She made me rethink about it.
Kirby's smart.
Kirby.
Yeah, Kirby looks super cool in his.
I'm not a visor guy.
Steve Spurrier, bona fide visor guy.
Spurrier's just... Well, I mean, the confidence just wafts off.
Come on, you've seen him at Arby's. Come on.
Yeah, he oozes the confidence. Like, he walks past you, and it's like an old lady in an elevator, you know? You still smell that perfume for about an hour.
But, it's called White Diamonds, Gary.
Hey, that's it. Yeah, they lost their sense of smell like 15 years ago. All right, let's move back. So you kind of alluded to this earlier, Jason.
Okay.
It was just Europeans in general complaining about anything with the United States just kind of grinds my gears.
Well, that's a very broad. How are you printing this one on the dot matrix?
No, hold on. No.
Are you printing a map of Europe?
It's so with the Club World Cup. It's about how they a month ago or something like that. I don't know if you guys saw this on social media about how the British were talking about British heat and how the American mind
British
heat.
Yes.
And being a Southerner is like
and you look at their heat waves and you look at what it translates in Fahrenheit and it's like 89 degrees or something. And I'm like, that was it at 6 p.m. on a Tuesday, man. I mean, come on. It's like an average temperature, but then they come to the United States and now they're complaining about how it's too hot for conditions and how we might need to consider moving the dates of the World Cup and everything to fit for like, because it's too hot. And
yeah, how about we just don't set the game times for European television? How about that? Why don't we have a 7:30 game? Like, we play most of our sports at 7:30 here.
Yes.
You know?
There's a reason that you don't play games in the middle of the day in the summertime. That's kind of common sense, but it's funny how as soon as they get embraced into it, like they put it dropped into the bucket here, and they're like, actually, it's a lot hotter here.
So print out... instead of all of Europe, print out a frame, of the British Isles.
Not the British Isles, just Great Britain.
Just Great Britain.
Because that includes Ireland.
You're going to leave the Irish not complaining.
No, not the Irish. I love the Irish. Irish are great.
Okay.
I can't complain about the Irish.
The Irish might be complaining a little bit, too.
I don't
care about the Scots
the
in
Irish.
There? Or am I too far off?
The Scots will complain about the English. They might complain about the heat, but then they'll complain about the English, so that's
kind of
funny.
They'll complain about the English complaining about the heat.
Yeah, I'm okay with them complaining about the English.
I love the Scots.
That's why I
love
the Scots. Exactly.
Yeah, the Scots will be entertaining.
I'm over the English. Get the English out of here.
Yeah.
I don't care about the... I haven't had to care about them for the last 249 years.
It's so silly. The complaints, the constant whining, all of it. There were people talking about 85 degrees and no humidity, and I couldn't feel my toenails.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, do you want to come play in, like, Baton Rouge? Let's see how that goes for you.
We're calling Baton Rouge. I got a little summertime sadness here just for the Europeans.
Yay! Hey,
people would melt. Ridiculous. I'm with you. I'm throwing darts. Throwing darts at it, Garrett.
Yeah,
I like
I'm throwing darts at it, too. I like it. We're throwing darts. And on that note... We are going to take our heat and our summertime sadness on up out of the bar. They are cutting off lights and putting bar stools up on chairs. So that is our cue to leave the intersection of sports and everything else for the week. Noel White, for Jason Longshore, for our super producer, our guest star, Garrett Chapman. This has been The Intersection. We thank you, Atlanta. Enjoy All-Star Weekend. Catch you next week.